Testimony Treasures, Volume 2, Chapter 27, Importance of the Sabbath. Those who stand in responsible positions should be careful that their words and example are such as will lead the people to correct views and practices. They should be sure that in no way they belittle the requirements of God. Because the fourth commandment is so widely disregarded, we should be the more earnest and decided in seeking to honor this precept of God's holy law. The third angel's message is that which we are to present to the world. Here God has a test for us, and if we come up to the standard, we shall be a peculiar people. Whoever obeys the fourth commandment will find that a separating line is drawn between him and the world. The Sabbath is a test, not a human requirement, but God's test. It is that which will distinguish between those who serve God and those who serve Him not. And upon this point will come the last great conflict of the controversy between truth and error. Among our people, generally in these kingdoms, the Sabbath has not stood in the exalted position where God has placed it. The world is the instrument that sifts the church and tests the genuineness of its members. The world holds out inducements that, when accepted, place the believer where his life is not in harmony with his profession. Partnership with unbelievers. Some of our brethren engaged in business have not kept the Sabbath according to the commandment. Some have been in partnership with unbelievers. And the influence of these Sabbath-breaking associates has had its effect upon them. Some have been so blinded that they could not discern the danger in such connections, but it is only the greater because unperceived. While one partner is professedly observing the Sabbath, the other, with the laborers employed, is carrying on the business of the firm. The Sabbath keeper, though not outwardly engaged in labor, cannot keep his thoughts from business matters. While he may endeavor to keep the Sabbath, he does not keep it. The Lord looks upon him as a transgressor. Even in business relations, we cannot, without involving principle, connect ourselves with those who are not loyal to God. What the one party feels that conscience forbids, the other allows. And this not merely in regard to religious matters, but in business transactions. The one acts from selfish motives, regardless of God's law or the salvation of the soul. And if the other sincerely loves God and the truth, there must be either a sacrifice of principle or frequent and painful differences. It will require a continual struggle to resist the worldly influence and example of his ungodly associate. He has great difficulties to meet, for he has placed himself on the enemy's ground. The only safe course is to give heed to the inspired injunction, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Attending school on the Sabbath. Some of our people have sent their children to school on the Sabbath. They were not compelled to do this, but the school authorities objected to receiving the children unless they should attend 6 days. In some of these schools, pupils are not only instructed in the usual branches of study, but are taught to do various kinds of work. And here the children of professed commandment keepers have been sent upon the Sabbath. Some parents have tried to justify their course by quoting the words of Christ, that it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath day. But the same reasoning would prove that men may labor on the Sabbath because they must earn bread for their children, and there is no limit, no boundary line to show what should and what should not be done. Had these dear brethren possessed greater spirituality? Had they realized the binding claim of God's law as every one of us should? They would have known their duty and would not have been walking in darkness. it was very hard for them to see how they could take any other course. But God does not consult our convenience in regard to His commandments. He expects us to obey them and to teach them to our children. We have before us the example of Abraham, the father of the faithful. The God of heaven says, "I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord." And this was why such great blessings were pronounced upon him and his posterity. Our brethren cannot expect the approval of God while they place their children where it is impossible for them to obey the fourth commandment. They should endeavor to make some arrangement with the authorities whereby the children shall be excused from attendance at school upon the seventh day. If this fails, then their duty is plain, to obey God's requirements at whatever cost. In some places in Central Europe, persons have been fined and imprisoned for not sending their children to school on the Sabbath. In one place, after a brother had plainly stated his faith, an officer of justice came to his door and compelled the children to go to school. The parents gave them a Bible instead of their usual textbooks, and their time was spent in studying it. But wherever it can be done, our people should establish schools of their own. Where they cannot do this, they should as soon as possible remove to some place where they can be free to keep the commandments of God. The proof of loyalty. Some will urge that the Lord is not so particular in His requirements, that it is not their duty to keep the Sabbath strictly at so great loss, or to place themselves where they will be brought in conflict with the laws of the land. But here is just where the test is coming, whether we will honor the law of God above the requirements of men. This is what will distinguish between those who honor God and those who dishonor Him. Here is where we are to prove our loyalty. The history of God's dealings with His people in all ages shows that He demands exact obedience. When the destroying angel was about to pass through the land of Egypt and smite the firstborn of both man and beast, the Israelites were directed to bring their children into the house with them and to strike the doorpost with blood, and none were to go out of the house, for all that were found among the Egyptians would be destroyed with them. Suppose an Israelite had neglected to place the sign of blood upon his door, saying that the angel of God would be able to distinguish between the Hebrews and the Egyptians. Would the heavenly sentinels have stood to guard that dwelling? We should take this lesson to ourselves. Again, the destroying angel is to pass through the land. There is to be a mark placed upon God's people, and that mark is the keeping of His holy Sabbath. We are not to follow our own will and judgment, and flatter ourselves that God will come to our terms. God tests our faith by giving us some part to act in connection with His interposition in our behalf. To those who comply with the conditions, His promises will be fulfilled. But all that venture to depart from His instructions, to follow a way of their own choosing, will perish with the wicked when His judgments are visited upon the earth. If parents allow their children to receive an education with the world and make the Sabbath a common day, then the seal of God cannot be placed upon them. They will be destroyed with the world, and will not their blood rest upon the parents? But if we faithfully teach our children God's commandments, bring them into subjection to parental authority, and then by faith and prayer commit them to God, He will work with our efforts, for He has promised it. And when the overflowing scourge shall pass through the land, they with us may be hidden in the secret of the Lord's pavilion. Scrupulous Sabbath observance. God brought His people Israel from Egypt that they might keep His Sabbath, and He gave them special directions how to keep it. The 10 precepts spoken by His own voice from Sinai, and the instructions given to Moses, were recorded for the benefit of all who should live upon the earth to the close of time. God has given man 6 days for labor, but he has reserved the seventh to himself, and he has pronounced a blessing upon those who keep it holy. The day before the Sabbath is to be made a day of preparation, that everything may be in readiness for its sacred hours. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seethe that ye will seethe. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Divine mercy has directed that the sick and suffering should be cared for. The labor required to make them comfortable is a work of necessity and no violation of the Sabbath. But all unnecessary work should be avoided. Many carelessly put off till the beginning of the Sabbath little things that should have been done on the day of preparation. This should not be. Any work that is neglected until the commencement of holy time should remain undone until the Sabbath is past. The words and thoughts should be guarded. Those who discuss business matters and lay plans on the Sabbath are regarded of God as though they engaged in the actual transaction of business. To keep the Sabbath holy, we should not even allow our minds to dwell upon things of a worldly character. Sunday is generally made a day of feasting and pleasure-seeking, but the Lord would have His people give the world a higher, holier example. Upon the Sabbath, there should be a solemn dedication of the family to God. The commandment includes all within our gates. All the inmates of the house are to lay aside their worldly business and employ the sacred hours in devotion. Let all unite to honor God by cheerful service upon His holy day.